high unemployment is coming. Now, you go, okay, well, that happened even because of COVID. No, I'm talking about much worse. Think about it. Right now, 50%+ of the people are employed by government or in some capacity or government contracts. If the government has lost control of everything and can't fund their operation, then automatically 50% of the people are out of work. We're talking about high unemployment wreaking all kinds of havoc on our society. Again, these are not meant to scare you. These are not meant to make you go jump off a bridge somewhere. If you're a pop psychologist, stop listening. Because I'm telling you these things, because they actually, if you look at this as a meteorologist would, let me look at the weather coming, you can actually make very prudent decisions on where to put your money and what to do with your whole plan if you start trying to piece together all these pieces of the puzzle. By the way, he says business failures are going to be rampant. Small businesses and large businesses. And we can look right now at the destruction that has been wrought upon the airline industry as one example, but look at the large retail outfits. Look at Hertz Rent-A-Car. This can be a series of domino effect type of things where businesses just go kaput. Now, add that to the unemployment roster, by the way. Another, what Franklin says is coming between now and the rebirth, is big cities dwindling. Now, again, I told you, you can take very particular action from this. If big cities dwindle, then commercial real estate is going to go down in value. Have you seen all the lease signs in front of the little strip malls? Maybe it's already happening. Commercial real estate will wither, will go down in value. Now, will there be a re-ruralization? I don't know. Will we go back to the farm? I don't know. I doubt it. But will we be working from home? You betcha. You betcha. We're going to be working from home whether we like it or not. I wonder why. I wonder what the game is there. Probably we're all just plugged into a computer, I guess. Airlines, he says, will vanish. Some of them have already. Travel, tourism will be hit hard. The dining out economy will be devastated. In other words, right now in America, we take so much for granted. Like, I can just go out to eat whenever I want, and I expect people to wait on me and food to be delivered to me and to have lavish drinks and cocktails and so on and so forth. That is probably going to be a thing of the past. We'll go back to where we used to be. When I was a kid, this is true, by the way, when you went out, it was a big deal. I mean, you might have gone out once a month, maybe once a quarter. And it was like, Dad, really, Dad, we're going to a restaurant? We're going to a restaurant? That's how it was when I was a kid. Now it's like the kids expect to eat at restaurants. If you got to eat at home, they go, why do we have to eat here? That might flip around. Another thing will happen, he says, globalization will reverse. He said that the on-demand economy, this has shown the weakness of the on-demand economy, and that he believes globalization will reverse, production will actually come back to the United States. And he says, and this is a very positive thing, that there will be investment opportunities in small and nimble companies inside the U.S. So as this goes forward, if you've kept your powder dry, if you've got your cash, and you can find those small and nimble suppliers of products and services, then you can invest with great happiness and alacrity because they're the ones who are going to survive. Domestic companies providing valuable goods and services. And then he says, of course, there'll be continued massive inflation. There'll be a continued increase in totalitarian control measures. And then he says that is going to bring on increased refusal and rebellion. So what he kind of sees is everything coming to a head, right? We're going to be told what to do constantly because they're going to try to maintain control while they've destroyed our economy. And then we're going to say, no, I don't want to do that like we are right now with masks and social distancing. Anybody with their head screwed on straight is going, this is a crock of baloney. And we're already starting to see the refusals increasing and rebellion is probably not too far behind. I'm not advocating these things, guys. Again, meteorologist trying to look at the weather forecast and say, hey, if this is coming, what do I do? We can't necessarily stop what's coming, but we can be part of the solution when bad stuff goes down. Will there be a death or a rebirth? I've already told you, I'm firmly in the camp of rebirth, both from an eternal viewpoint and a temporal, mundane viewpoint. Frankly, comes in and validates me. He says, over 50%, he says, ponder this once more. This is the closing part of his article. Over 50% of the people in the U.S. draw their income from government. They will passively accept whatever controls government imposes, but the other half work for a living and they want their freedom. They will simply disobey, whether the order is social distancing or quarantine or mandatory vaccination. The deep political rift between left and right is hardening into open rebellion in the red states. Adding to that is the violence we are now seeing in 140 cities, buttressed by some very suspicious volunteers. This is also a fake. Somebody is paying people to riot. See, I told you, these things are created, they're manipulated, they're manifested for you to visualize and to see and think this is naturally occurring. It's not. It's a psychological operation going on you. Now, you've got to be able to see through that. You've got to be able to say, now, what do I do in response to it? And I can tell you it's going to get darn tricky moving forward. Back to Franklin. The likelihood of violence and severe oppression is high. But in the end, the insiders will lose control over money and people. Their power will end. Government will change. After that comes the rebuilding. I believe, says Franklin Sanders, I believe freedom will be restored. So Franklin comes in decidedly on the side of even a temporal rebirth. And I think that's heartening, right? Again, between here and there, the heartache, the struggle, the problems, guys, I'm not living in fantasy island here. I'm not saying, oh, it'll be all fine. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying there aren't real dangers, but I'm saying that much of what's been done to you has been crafted. Much of being what's been done to you has been a mind op, and the real thing that follows will be what we have to struggle through, but we can struggle through it, and like Franklin, I agree, we can come out on the other side and be happy that we did. 844-527-8723 is how you call in. I'm David Simpson here on the True Money Show Crusade Channel, last live radio station standing. I have just completed my little review of Franklin Sanders' latest article, Death or Rebirth, How Will the Crises Turn Out? I highly recommend you checking out the-moneychanger.com. So I told you there's only one time to take money from the government, and one time only. Now, sometimes even today, we don't even have a choice. What was this the stupid latest thing, coronavirus, you know, handout? If you file a tax return, boom, we just went into your checking account. I mean, it's amazing how obtrusive government has become. Now they just have kind of a direct deposit authority over my account at all times. I imagine they have direct withdrawal authority as well. Bad news for us. But here's the one time you should take money from the government, and this is the only time that I recommend. So this is my This Day in Money History. It's actually yesterday, June 23rd, but don't worry about it. This Day in Money History, June 1836. With the U.S. national debt eliminated. What? The U.S. national debt eliminated 1835, and the federal budget running a huge surplus. President Andrew Jackson's plan to distribute the surplus to the states is enacted. Jackson repeatedly declares that with no more national debt, the U.S. will always have a budget surplus. Here's a better signal of what the future really holds. By the time the distribution is actually paid out in 1837, it has already shrunk below $37.5 million, 25% less than the government's original estimate of $50 million. This report was from Bray Hammond, Banks and Politics in America from the Revolution of the Civil War, Princeton University Press. I don't care that he overestimated how much was going to be returned. Say what you will about Andrew Jackson, but you must say this. He was savvy. He was aware of the financier's desire to grab control of our country, and he ended the central bank, and then he ran the government out of national debt, and then he gave money back to people. Now, I could vote for a guy like that.